Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
Who would you be without your job, woman, or material possessions? Are you the guy who doesn't like to complain, so you're sucking it up and tolerating a less than desirable life? And do you have the balls to admit that deep down, you want to make some changes, but you're scared shitless to do it? This week, we're talking with transformational life coach, Coot Blackson, about how facing our death before we die can help us live more fully. Welcome to The New Man. Today I'm in Los Angeles, California. I'm actually in Hollywood at the Henson Recording Studios, and I'm psyched to have my good boy here, Coot Blackson. What is up, Coot?
What's happening, Trev? It's great to be on your show, The New Man.
That's right, man. So Coot is a transformational life coach, and you help people live full out. And I mean, there's a lot of guys that talk that stuff. I mean, I'm a coach and everything, but you're the one guy I know that really puts it out there, really has people hanging it out there. You do this amazing trip to India. Just tell me a little bit about that. It blows me away.
Oh, you're talking about the liberation experience.
The liberation experience.
The India intensive. Basically, yeah. The liberation experience trip is a 14-day nonstop radical coaching process. It's a coaching experience where I take visionary leaders, high-level leaders to India with me.
14 days.
And you're stuck with me one-on-one.
One-on-one.
It's not me, you, and 14 other people. It's me and you and no one else.
Uh-huh.
So really, during this process, Trip, there's no hiding. It's me and you. You can't run. Everything you've tried to run from, I confront you with it.
So are you guys hanging out at the Four Seasons or something?
Oh, no. Let me tell you. Let me break it down. It's not that kind of party. I basically, from the beginning, I take away your passport. I take away your money. I take away your clothes. So you only have one pair of clothes, a small backpack with a few things in it, and you have nothing. No cell phone, no computer access. You can't make phone calls. You are stuck with me. It's a 24/7, 14-day nonstop process, and you're stuck with me. And during that time, I basically customize a process that where I feel into where your limitations are on opening, where your limitations are on loving, where your limitations are. And I feel into where those kind of knots are, because we all have those knots.
Mm-hmm.
And I press up against those. I put you in situations that might trigger those, that might spark those. And then I help people work through those. So I may take you into the biggest slum in Asia.
Now, what do you mean by opening, or, you know, help me understand, like, why in the hell you're going to go terrify me? I get that part.
Yeah.
But that's in that first, opening, help me understand that.
The first question I ask people before we even go on the trip is, are you ready to die? And I have people fill out their wills. I have people write letters to the people they most love.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to face our fears.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have them. They're different from everyone. But one of the, I think, the main fears for individuals and men especially is the fear of death. And I feel as though until we really face death, we just come face to face with it, straightforward, no running. We're always hesitant. We're always holding back until we really face the reality that death is right now.
We're going to die.
It's not even that we're going to die. Yeah, we're going to die. It's guaranteed. And number one, we're resisting that. But the other thing is we are dying this moment, every second, as you and I are talking right now. And right now, I don't care if you're the president or you're just in a bar, we are dying right now from the moment we're born. And to just not avoid that, not try and, you know, numb oneself or distract oneself through drinking, through, you know, partying, through whatever it is, and just for a moment, or even through working or even trying to make money, but just for a moment to come face to face with that.
And you call this the liberation experience.
The liberation experience.
But for a lot of people, we are running away from death. And are you saying that when we get in touch with the fact that we're going to die, we move through that experience of being in touch with that, liberation's on the other side? What do you mean by that?
There's a deeper freedom on the other side, you know, where you can start to unhook from the parts of yourself that you have been trying to preserve. The parts of yourself that you
like. I am an attorney.
You know, we have all of these identities. You know, Triplin, an identity that we. I'm a lawyer. I'm a this. I'm a that. You know, my bank account. My my beautiful girlfriend. My, you know, my body. My all these things we identify as this is me. This is me. This is me.
Right.
Oh my God, this is me. And then we often, as a way to keep ourselves safe, as a way to survive, as a way to have some kind of stability, we so hold on to these identities. And I feel like the tighter we hold on to these identities, the more rigid we can become, the more insecure we can become, the more inflexible
it
we
feels
can
narrow
become. It's narrow.
It feels narrow.
Exactly, it's narrow.
Okay, so the more shit that I accumulate and the more identities, I actually am less free.
You're less free.
I'm less
open.
I have more to lose.
You have more to lose. And then a lot of your sense of who you are and a sense of confidence or freedom is really not a real freedom. It's a kind of pseudo freedom. You're just a slave to these things, a slave to the car, a slave to the girlfriend that you're identified with, a slave to your bank account. And what happens the moment you take it away? You know, yes, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm a strong guy. But what happens the moment you no longer have control over your body? Well, what happens the moment your bank account goes down? Or what happens the moment you lose that job that you're so hooked in and identified with? What happens when you can no longer have the cell phone? And all these things that you use as a way to feel powerful. Who are you then? What happens? So on the liberation experience,
right,
I take away all these things that we have typically identified and used to prop ourselves up as I'm a man. This is what makes me as a man. So that we can then start feeling, once you take all this shit away, all this stuff away, what's left?
Cutting through the illusion.
Cutting through the illusion.
And you don't get to do that like, hey, come to my office at 4 o'clock and we'll talk for an hour. It's get on the fucking plane.
Get on the plane.
We're going to the other side of the globe.
That's right.
I'm going to take away your passport, your money, your clothes, and we're going in.
And we dive into the unknown. And that's the key.
Right. You know? You don't have it scripted out either.
For me, it's a free flow. You know, I never know what's going to happen. I just kind of get myself out the way. So, yeah, you bet it's a stretch for me as well.
Yeah.
But we dive into the unknown. And I think one of the fears that we can have as men, as people, but it's also a deep masculine fear, is that fear of the unknown. You know, and there's a masculine tendency to want to know everything.
Right.
And
I want to be able to explain this.
Explain it. Have it planned out. This is where I'm going. This is what's going to happen. This is the next step. And that attachment to knowing can be a masculine limitation. It's great to know. But the tighter we hold on to that, the more we can limit ourselves in this moment.
It's like a bottleneck stuck in the head.
Exactly. It's a great way to say it.
Yeah, I don't actually get to experience what's going on because I'm always constantly trying to manage and control. And well, if I know the reason why this happened, it's like, why did this happen? Like a plane crashes. Why did this happen? Yeah. We all want to know immediately so we can avoid it in the future.
We're holding on to the known, what we know, and it limits us. So we dive into the unknown.
Dive into the unknown.
Dive into the unknown and live in that place. And it's almost, we free fall.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and the intention of that journey is so that people can start to open or access the place in them, this place inside of them, where real freedom is.
And would you call, I just get a sense of that, that, and this is kind of the work that I do, we call that the wholeness piece.
Uh-huh.
There's a wholeness there when we do confront death and we become, we don't bullshit ourselves anymore into thinking that we're somehow going to get around it, but death is a part of our existence.
It's a
part of everything.
And everything is dying.
And so, and I actually get to feel more whole. Like I get to retrieve a part of myself. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, you get to shed what isn't you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to die and let go of all the things you thought were you,
mm-hmm.
that you were living, that were numbing you, that were maybe inauthentic. Some people call it the ego or whatever, your identity. But
right.
you get to shed that.
Right.
And when you find out what's left, you talk about the wholeness. It's what you really are. Or it's more of, and so you have more access. You can be more in touch with. What is you really are?
Yeah, it's kind of like once I deal with the fact that there's nothing to lose, yeah. I play full out.
You play full out.
Yeah. Life suddenly becomes really playful, yes. I imagine.
Yes. Once you face death mm-hmm. in the eye and you go through that, and it's almost like once you've died, what is there to be afraid of once you've faced yourself and gone through that tunnel? Okay, kill me. I'm already dead.
Immense freedom.
I've already died.
There's the famous story of the samurais before they go into battle.
Yes.
The ceremony, they do the ritual, yes. of imagining that they're already dead.
Already dead is the word, yeah.
And then fighting from that place of right. nothing to lose.
Yes.
Leave nothing behind on the yes. battlefield.
Yes. Absolutely.
Wow.
So I think when we face that, it frees us up to start living, you know, this thing called life fully, without hesitation, without holding. Because if you're already dead, as you said, what do you have to lose? So it just frees you up to start living and giving and living your purpose and giving your gifts fully. You know?
Now,
that's what it's about.
Okay. So we dove into this, and I'm imagining there's guys listening to this, and they're like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And so, how do we bring this back down?
Yeah,
can I really live my daily life of I got to go get the groceries, I got to go, my wife's upset with me, and yeah. I got to get the job and pay the bills?
Yeah.
How can I do this on a day to day basis? Is it how do I integrate that into my life? Is that possible?
I think it has to be integrated into one's daily life. And I think one of the first things is we have to be willing to feel. We have to be willing to feel our limitation, to feel what's not working, to feel, you know, the sadness of what we might be feeling, of just what it is like to just live mediocrely or live numb.
Give me an example of that. Like, you know, if I'm sitting in my chair right
yeah.
now, what am I are you saying I'm choosing not to feel something?
Well,
or what does it mean?
You know, I think it's important to really we can all feel the part of us that wants to give more. We can all feel the part of us where there's so much that we have to, whether we're offering it or not, that we have gifts to offer.
There's a deep holding
back. There's a deep something we can feel like, wow, there's more in me. And yet, many hold back.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we feel that holding back, but we try and distract ourselves from that pain of like, wow, I as a being, have so much to give.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this person giving and this, but wow, I'm afraid. And I have so much to give. So we often distract ourselves from feeling that pain
mm-hmm.
and just kind of get caught up in the routine of living life and just existing.
Yeah, it makes me think of being in the place, I should have told that person did something nice for me. I yeah. should have said something, or I yeah. should have told that person that
yeah.
their lights were left on, or
yeah.
these little pieces.
The tiny things.
But there's actually something in the body that happens, and my body happens. Yeah. It's like, God, it feels like shit to hold back.
You know, when we really feel how painful it feels to hold back that impulse,
mm-hmm.
our hearts, what we want to give,
mm-hmm.
what we know, we can feel it. It is painful.
And this can be not just helping somebody out, but it's our own potential people.
It's our own potential. I mean, you're breaking it down to a minute level, which is awesome, you know? And I think it is also our own potential of like, wow, I have gifts in me. You know, what happened to those? I'm just working in a job that I hate, you know, doing something I hate, yet, God, there is so much in me. Why am I not offering it? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to sit with that pain.
Right.
And for a moment, let it burn you up.
Right. Right. You
know? And be with that and be willing to be honest with yourself as to where you're currently at.
Yeah.
And not BS yourself.
That pain seems to me, that's the doorway you're using.
Yes.
To go in.
Yes.
And find out what the fuck it is you are passionate
yes.
about.
Yes.
What is it you do want to give in right. this life? On the other side of that pain, when I quit distracting myself, yep. I go into that pain and like, what is in there? What's not mm-hmm. being expressed? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
I think that pain is a doorway. And if you numb that, you just numb what's on the other side, which is the gift.
And that's kind of indicative of our culture is we've got pain, here's a symptom, take something for it.
Yeah.
It's not a doorway. It's not something to be investigated.
No, it's something to be disconnected from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, have you ever seen an ad trip on TV that where a doctor comes on and says, you feel pain, sadness? Just feel it. It's always, you feel pain and sadness. Here's a, you know, Prozac, or
right.
here's a pill, just pop it, just disconnect from it.
Just disconnect, right.
And yet still, even when we disconnect from it, there's still, it's bubbling underneath. So mm-hmm. I think being willing to feel that and being honest with ourselves about it is a first kind of step to moving to the other side, which is feeling what our gifts are, feeling what our purpose is, feeling why am I alive?
So really? If I'm a guy out there and I'm yes. actually starting to feel this numbness in my life, and yes. I talk to a lot of guys that yes. are feeling it's like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm in this relationship, I'm in this job, I'm in my life, I've got the kids, I got the whatever, and I'm numb. I'm getting yeah. numb, and yeah. There's a doorway of like, I'm just hearing like the pathway would be quit distracting yourself.
Quit the distractions.
Don't move around
yes.
what it is you don't want to feel.
Yeah. Face it.
Face it.
Face it. Go head through on. It. Go through it. Sit with it. Here's the thing. Even if that man or that person doesn't do anything about it, quit bullshitting and lying. Like, no, everything's fine. Or no, I can deal with this job. No, I kind of like what I'm doing. No, be willing to be honest with yourself about where you're at. Number two, what your current need is. And if, let's say, you're in a relationship or a job that you hate,
mm-hmm.
be totally honest about it. I'm in a job that I hate. And the truth is, I'm too scared and I'm not willing to do anything about it because I need to pay my rent. Be honest.
That's trustable right there. I mean, it's completely trustable. The guy's right not full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't just say, no, I kind of like things. No, you don't like anything about it. Be totally honest mm-hmm. and sit with that honesty because it's then that you can start dealing with what's actually there.
Until you fess up with what's happening right now, you can't get from there to somewhere else, right?
You can't. You okay. can't deal with it. So you've got to start with where you're at.
And so the doorway for the numb guy is that he starts to feel into this. He starts to acknowledge what yeah. is happening.
Yeah.
And you're saying that his passions, the things, the inspiring stuff is yes. on the other side of that. Say yes. more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you start feeling, then you can start accessing what's really there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might start feeling, wow, this is so painful. I really can't do this anymore.
I don't want to feel this.
I don't want to feel this, but if you're willing to feel it, often what happens is that numb guy starts feeling, this is so painful, I just can't keep living my life this way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't continue
right.
doing this. But if you numb it, you can just kind of continue in a kind of, you know, mediocre space
right.
in an existence versus if you really feel it's like, this is too painful. I now have enough pain. I have to make a shift. I have to do something. I have to get help. I have to do something.
Yeah.
So that's the fire. And then that is the impulse that will start pushing you
mm-hmm.
to maybe asking the deeper questions. Okay, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
What is my gift?
What's
Why
possible?
Am I here? What's possible?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Yeah.
You know, and then facing whatever those fears might be.
Yeah, one of the questions that I love to ask to help guys get in touch with what's happening right now
yes.
is just, what are you tolerating?
Yes.
And we know,
yeah.
we know that we're putting up with some bullshit.
Yeah.
There's the deep sighs throughout the day and the continual kind of like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're saying, get real with it.
Get real.
Just be honest. Is not what I want.
And if you're not willing to do anything, be honest about that.
What about the guy that is like, well, I don't want to be a pussy or I don't want to be a whiner or whatever, you know, and he's just like, hey, you know, suck it up. cowboy up, you know, man up, get in there and do it. What do you have to say for that guy? Is he bullshitting himself?
I would say so, but.
So he can do this without being a whiner. It takes
balls, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you think it's courageous lying? Mm-hmm. It takes balls and courage to face yourself mm-hmm. and face what is and speak the truth.
So the real path of strength is owning what is going on.
Owning. Because, you know, sometimes when we're afraid to own what's going on because it's like, oh my God, if I actually own what's going on, I might have to make a big shift.
Right.
I might have to leave my relationship, my job. No, let me not look at
that. Let's just stay here in this.
Yes, cocoon. And yes, I'm a man and I'm sucking it up in the guise of I'm sucking it up. But really, underneath that cowboy or underneath that underneath that person who's the tough guy is fear.
He's posturing.
He's afraid, but he's not willing to really admit, I'm afraid of what might happen to my life, my safe life, if I'm honest with myself.
So the ballsy move there is to admit that you're afraid.
The ballsy move and the courageous move is to admit, I'm scared shitless. I'm afraid of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step. Takes courage.
Awesome. Now, what about the other side? The guy that's just, I can imagine this becoming kind of a masochistic path.
Uh-huh.
There's a kind of a glamorization of the, you know, like the pain. My life is arduous and tough and I'm on this path. And I've met some guys like that, or I'm imagining some stories around that.
I have no idea what you're saying. Yeah. I've never been there. I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, we don't know. Let's make it as
some other guys. Right?
Yeah, some other guys out there. But what about that guy who kind of likes to keep it tough and hard? Is he doing this? Is he really doing this work too? Seems like there's two extremes.
Is he really doing the work of?
Is he really acknowledging where he is, or is he just getting stuck there and getting?
You know, I think he might be using his own drama and stuckness again as an avoidance.
Uh-huh.
You know,
using
it as an avoidance to really give what his gift is
mm-hmm.
and to offer his gift. Because, you know, I'm too, you know, stuff is going on and I'm, you know, I need to work stuff out.
I need to do eight more years of therapy.
It's like it becomes another excuse to not offer it right now, because if I can just, you know, I've got so much, and it's another excuse.
Yeah.
And we need to be honest about, well, wow, you can hide behind this stuff. You can mm-hmm. hide behind spirituality. You can hide behind your own personal
your story
and hide behind it. And I think there has to also come a certain point where, yes, you look at yourself, you face yourself, and you see it for what it is, and you realize your story is not what you are, is not who you are, and be willing to work with it, but also take responsibility so you don't hide behind that. And exactly as you are in that given moment, no matter what shape we're in, I feel as though we can still offer our gifts.
Yeah.
We can still offer whatever it is that we uniquely have to offer this world, exactly in whatever we look like, even if we're angry, even if we're sad, even if we're screwed up in the moment, we can offer something.
Right.
Something.
There's this idea that it needs to look a certain way or be a certain way.
We need to be perfect.
It needs to be perfect, right?
We need to get us, there's no such thing as perfection in the physical
mm-hmm.
or the personality.
Right.
The personality I found will never get perfect. And that's fine. If we can accept that and accept ourselves with our imperfections and our kinks and our issues, and still have the heart to say, I'm gonna offer it.
And so the essence of what you're talking about is, great, it's always gonna be pretty fucked up. It's always gonna have a flaw.
Always.
So don't wait. Death is around the freaking corner.
Right.
What? And you use this term gifts. I want to dive into that.
You
know, I know what you're talking about.
Waiting is suffering. I say, you know, to wait is to suffer. I want to give you one quick story.
Yeah.
Analogy is, you know, if you take a piece of paper trip and a straight piece of paper that's very, you know, clean, and then you scrunch it up, and let's say you scrunch this piece of paper up. And you scrunch it in the palm of your hand, and then I tell you, straighten it. straighten that piece of paper so it's flat and perfect again. It's never going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like us as human beings. You know, we're never going to get totally flat. Mm-hmm. And if we wait, we will be waiting forever. Mm-hmm. So don't wait. Offer it now.
So let's get into the idea of what a gift is. Yes. So I'd imagine some guys who are listening are like, give my gift. So what do you, my money, what are we talking about here?
We're not talking about Christmas.
Yeah.
I just feel like we all have something to offer. A unique expression.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, there's not one person exactly like us. So I just say it's about feeling what it is that you uniquely have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
What it is that you feel moved to give. What it is that you feel moved to contribute. Mm-hmm. To feel what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to really feel what. So I just simply call that your gift.
Something I'm passionate about.
That
something
you're passionate that, about yeah. offering the world. And it could be simple as a smile. It could be as, you know, simple as your business acumen. It could be simple as compassion. But mm-hmm. we all have a gift that's like, wow, this is what I must give the world.
Uh-huh.
This is what I must offer the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I die, I can die complete.
And I imagine it doesn't need to be the cure for cancer.
It doesn't.
Doesn't need to be putting people out in outer space or anything huge and dramatic. It can be
an intention.
Just an intention. It's just like anything.
Yeah.
Anything that you're passionate, you are truly, genuinely passionate about, you're right. saying, pursue that, share that, do yes. not hide that, do not wait to do that thing.
And you can offer it, you know, you can, it doesn't even have to be a certain profession, but you can offer, you know, you could be a mechanic and still offering your unique gift through being a mechanic.
I like the idea of, I mean, could it work this way? If I'm a mechanic and I'm passionate about doing XYZ,
yeah.
right? I want to bring XYZ in the world. Suddenly, my job as a mechanic is in support of that. Like, I feel more motivated
yeah.
to be a mechanic because that's the thing that allows me to give this gift. Like, it's not opposed to
yes,
that
yes.
where some people will be like, this thing's just in my way. It could be
and even also in right next to what you're saying, as that person's a mechanic, even as you're doing your mechanic thing, mm-hmm. you could still be finding ways to offer that gift to your clients as you're doing that, you know, as and through what you're doing.
There's always an opportunity.
There's always an opportunity. You mm-hmm. know, some people think, well, when I'm, you know, retired or when I have enough money, then I'll serve people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a mechanic, mm-hmm. you can really offer service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a lawyer, you can be offering service. It doesn't just have to be, wow, to the children in Tibet or in India, but right in front of you, to the grocery store person, you can be offering it.
Right
you
here.
Know, in traffic, you can be offering it. With your girlfriend, you can be offering it. If service is what you feel called to offer the world,
right.
it doesn't have to be just some special thing in church on a Sunday, this special moment. It can be right now.
So if I get in touch with my body of like what that shitty feeling is to yeah. withhold something,
yes.
to not express
yes.
something, that's the doorway into finding
it's a doorway.
What my gift may
it's
be.
It's a doorway. Embrace it.
Yeah. Like go in there and be like, what is it? That's this frustration.
Dissatisfaction.
This dissatisfaction is because I'm not expressing this gift. There's
yes.
a gift down in there. So the yes. pain is the doorway down
it's
into
a doorway.
That.
The dissatisfaction can be a doorway.
And the waiting part is, I don't know why I got this story, but I remember meeting a girl years ago and I just kind of knew her from hanging out in bars and everything. And she was, I just kind of had judged her as yes. just a party girl, very attractive and just kind of like, well, we don't have much in common. So
yes.
whatever. And she invited me back to her place and I walk in and she was embarrassed because she had all these amazingly beautiful watercolor paintings that she'd done of beetles, actual bugs. And I remember just being so touched, and I had a whole new view of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that she was going to withhold that for yeah. a long time.
Yeah.
And yet they were just as quote-unquote insignificant as watercolors of
yeah.
bugs.
Yeah.
But they were beautiful, these yes. iridescent things. And I had this whole view of her, like she was more human to me. She was more radiant to me. I just got to see this depth, and
you were inspired. I was inspired.
Yeah. I still remember that moment,
and that's, you know, that's what I mean when you say, "What's the gift?" That's her gift.
Her gift is painting bugs, essentially.
Bugs, you know,
yeah,
and beauty through art to open to provide an inspiration.
It doesn't have to look a certain way.
It doesn't. It doesn't have to look like Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to look like, you know, MLK, Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this moment, and if I shared this story with you before, when I was in India, and I went looking for some great teacher to be inspired, and I didn't find anyone that really inspired me, so I ended up outside of a temple one day, and I saw nine beggars mm-hmm. begging for money, which is a common sight in India.
Right.
And there was this one beggar that was sitting on the floor, and I just watched him for 2 hours, and it just struck me so deeply. I started weeping.
Wow.
I was so moved. Why? Because, number one, he was blind, yes, but he was singing for 2 hours. For those full 2 hours, he was singing. But what I realized is, my goodness, he'd been there all day, and I hadn't paid him any attention. But he'd been singing all day, and he would come out 7 days a week, 300 and some days a year, and sing. And I'm not talking about just, you know, mumble. I'm talking about singing the full heart, full throat, full body, just singing.
Giving it.
And I was so inspired, because not just because he was blind, but he was the only one that was sitting on the floor singing, but he had no arms.
Hmm.
And he was beating the drums with arms that looked like stumps. I kid you not.
Wow.
And it was so inspiring to see this guy who had no eyesight. Mm-hmm. And he had no arms, and he was sitting down because his legs were deformed, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they say in India, parents will deform their children so they can beg and make money that way. And he was sitting down because he couldn't stand up.
Right.
This is a guy who can't go to the toilet by himself,
right,
who can't eat by himself. You know, he can't do many other things by himself. And he has every reason to just complain and wait and be miserable. And here was this guy who was just offering, let's call it, his gift mm-hmm. of just voice. And I mean, he couldn't see how much money you were giving him. It's like he didn't really care. He couldn't see who was watching him. So he wasn't doing it for the money. He obviously just for the money. He wasn't doing it just for the recognition. There was something profound about his wild abandon in his singing. And I realized, wow, yes, he's a beggar, but really, I'm more of a beggar than this guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, every time I have so much to give, and I'm just sitting around waiting for some special moment. Mm-hmm. And here this guy has every reason to not offer his gifts. And there he is, giving. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I just got the fully expressed thing again. Like,
yeah,
there's no waiting. There's no like, well,
I'll
do it when you give me $1 million. Then I'll do my tricks.
Yes.
Or any of that kind
That's
of stuff.
That's the danger. I'll do it when.
I'll do it. There's a condition, right?
It's a condition.
There's
I'll
the
do
idea
it when.
Like, uh-huh.
When I have the money, when I have, I'll do it when.
This is radical, because we're talking about something that is, then it's ultimately unconditional.
Yes. Now. You know, image of Jesus on the cross, you know, where they're sticking spears in his side. And even in that moment, he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." Even in that moment,
mm-hmm.
you know,
he was still
offering,
love, yeah.
offering it.
The deep love.
So it's profound.
Tune in next week as we continue our discussion with Coop Blackson. And please visit triplanier.com and let us know what you'd like to hear on The New Man. Thanks for listening.